This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Hamilton County Department of Environmental Services has been going for more than 20 years, and during that stretch, says the environment in Southwest Ohio has dramatically improved. Joining me this afternoon are Holly Chrisman, Director of the Hamilton County Department of Environmental Services, and Brad Miller, who's the Assistant Director. You can join our conversation by calling 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And it's good to see both of you. Thanks for being here today. So 20 years, Hamilton County Department of Environmental Services, actually been around for 20 years.
That's correct.
That's incredible. Holly, how did the agency form in the first place?
Well, we had two separate agencies in Hamilton County. One was the Air Quality Agency. The other was the Solid Waste District. And back in 1992, when the county realized they had two separate environmental organizations, they decided to merge those two organizations into one to help us to be able to better share resources and increase efficiencies and effectiveness.
So Hamilton County has been a leader in this area, I take it?
Yes, we have. On both the air and solid waste.
And when we're talking about the Department of Environmental Services, we're talking about the two things. We're talking about air quality, and we're talking about recycling and solid waste. And Brad, what specifically does the Southwest Ohio Air Quality Agency do? What kinds of activities does it engage in?
Okay, from an air standpoint, probably the two major things is we do air monitoring. So we're actually monitoring the pollutants in the air and doing the daily pollen and mold index. And then also from the permits and enforcement section, we actually issue permits through Ohio EPA for facilities. We go out and inspect those facilities. So anything that has air emissions, we're out regulating those. And then when they're not complying with their permits, we take enforcement through Ohio EPA.
I got to tell you, Brad, as an allergy sufferer, the pollen and mold counts that your agency, they're a lifesaver.
Right. Yeah, you can find them daily in the paper and then also online at our agency's website. We post the daily pollen and mold counts and also the air quality index.
We have some photos on the WVXU website. They show a picture of City Hall in 1940 and today, and then downtown in 1950 and today. And Holly, I'm just amazed at the difference in those pictures. In the earlier pictures, you can see the difference in the air. You look at today, it's like, that's pretty clean. You look at the ones from the 40s and the 50s, and the air quality was just something that was amazing.
It's astounding to see the improvement in air quality over the last 20, 30 years. And that's a true testament to, one, our department, and also all of our partners that help us achieve our goals of improved environmental quality.
Brad, so obviously this has been pretty effective at cleaning up the area's air, hasn't it?
Right. Yeah, a lot of programs. There's been emission programs to reduce emissions from power plants and then also from mobile sources, cars and trucks. As the regulations continually evolve, they require less emissions from vehicles. So that has really helped, you know, clean up our air.
Now, there were, is this correct, Holly? There were no smog alerts at all this summer?
That's correct.
Was that a first for this area?
It's probably the first in a long time.
It has to be the first in a long time. That's a pretty amazing accomplishment, isn't it?
It's a very amazing accomplishment. And so, yes.
And what do you attribute that to? What do you think made that happen?
Well, part of it is the emission reductions, but it also is weather. Ozone is the thing that contributes to a lot of our smog alerts during the summer. And we had a little bit cooler summer, and then we also had a lot of weather pattern changes where we had, you know, the wind, so it helped dissipate some of the pollutants. So it's probably a combination of both weather and the reduction in pollutants.
Now, we used to have e-check in this area. And Holly knows how I feel about e-check. That's why she's laughing. You know, you did the emissions testing on cars, and why did they stop that? Was the air finally clean enough to do that?
Right. Actually, in 2011, we actually came into attainment for all six criteria pollutants. US EPA sets what they call National Ambient Air Quality Standards for all six of the criteria pollutants, which is particulate matter, ozone, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, lead and carbon monoxide. And we actually came into attainment for the first time that I ever can remember for all six of those pollutants. And most recently, it was the ozone and the fine particulate were the two we just recently came into attainment with. So that was a significant accomplishment. And again, it's a lot of the emission reduction programs have been put in place over the years. And that was a significant accomplishment for our, you know, for our agency and for the area. But e-check, basically, since we came into attainment, the e-check program was no longer required for our area. They still have it up in the Cleveland area because they are still in non-attainment. But since we came into attainment for the ozone standard of 2011, the e-check program was we were able to remove it.
So you're monitoring just Southwest Ohio in this case, and can you speak for what goes on in Northern Kentucky, or is it just being across the river? Does that make a difference in the air quality in this area?
Right. We handle Hamilton, Butler, Warren, and Claremont counties. We kind of partner with the agency, the Northern Kentucky Agency. So our area is a regional area. So when we're considered attainment or non-attainment, it's usually Boone, Campbell, and Kenton County are also included as part of that non-attainment area or attainment area. So what we see is the air quality is a little bit better, but it's pretty similar for the most part in those three Northern Kentucky counties. And then also Dearborn County in southeastern Indiana is also kind of included in our area. So the air quality is pretty similar in all those different counties.
So what's the outlook? Are we going to be able to stay in attainment, or is there a chance that that e-check ever returns?
Okay, actually, in 2011, we finally got into attainment for everything. But for ozone, we've just recently went back into non-attainment because they have actually lowered the standard. What they find out is as they keep studying these pollutants, they're finding lower levels still cause health effects, so they keep lowering the level. So even though our air quality is improving, we kind of go back into non-attainment because they've lowered the standard. So for ozone, we just recently went back into non-attainment, but based on our level of how far we are over the standard, we will not need e-check to get back into compliance or back into attainment with the standard.
Whew, thank goodness. At least so far, right?
Right, so far, yes.
Okay, so we're doing pretty well in this area, and the efforts have been pretty successful.
Yeah, very, very, very much so.
Not only do we deal with air quality, though, at the Hamilton County Department of Environmental Services, we're also dealing with the issues of recycling and solid waste. And what kinds of programs does the department offer for those?
Sure. We have a wide range of programs to divert material from landfill. So those range from free drop-off sites for residential yard trimmings to drop-off sites for household hazardous waste, electronic waste. And we also work very closely with communities and businesses to help them develop programs to recycle more and reduce waste.
And so you have an overall vision for what recycling and solid waste is up to?
We actually have a vision of being a society that generates zero waste.
Wow.
So it's a lofty vision. We know that, and we won't
get
there tomorrow.
People are pretty messy by nature.
Yes.
That's incredible. Well, how are you making good progress? Does this area seem to be embracing recycling?
Yes. Every year, the percent of material going to landfill has reduced. So, for example, prior to 1992, this area had a recycling rate of about 16%. As of 2012, that recycling rate is 57%. So a significant increase in the amount of material being diverted from landfills.
So what's caused this significant increase? Are you offering incentives for people to recycle, or are people just saying it's the right thing to do, so we should just keep building in this area?
It's a little bit of a combination of both. One, there is definitely much more awareness on both sides of our office, both air and solid waste, over the past 20 years. In particular to solid waste, we also provide incentives to local governments to provide their residents with access to recycling. And those are financial incentives. And we also work with businesses who, again, want to be leaders in sustainability. We work with them to improve access for their employees to have recycling and composting programs in their office space.
Well, how big a problem, one specific area I always think of is electronic waste. It seems like that's a big problem. How is it pretty vast, and you're offering programs to help deal with that issue as well?
Sure. Yeah. Electronic waste, which is basically anything that has a battery or a cord, is one of the fastest growing waste streams right now. I mean, let's face it, these computers, unfortunately, are almost disposable products now.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a free drop-off coming up in January for residents to properly recycle their computers, their televisions, their cell phones. And we've been doing that program since early 2000s.
So it's a case of, if I have an old computer, I just can't ditch it in the garbage can I?
We do not recommend that.
Okay, don't recommend
for several reasons. One is, you want to save space in the landfill for material that can't be recycled. And two, we don't recommend residents put out computers at their curb because of the identity information you have on a hard drive. We want you to properly have those recycled.
Where does all that stuff go once it's taken in?
We work with local businesses who are certified electronic waste recyclers, and they basically dismantle the televisions and computers into the various different metals, plastics, and glass. And then those materials are sent to end manufacturers to make into new products.
So these things are being recycled
literally, and
it's being put to good use.
Yes.
513-419-7100. If you have any questions or comments and would like to join our conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And there's a new air monitoring project that's going to be getting underway soon, Brad. What's that about?
Right. As part of the U.S. EPA regulations, we've established a near-road monitoring site. What U.S. EPA has found is cars, trucks, the exhaust from those vehicles can cause health problems, and people located closer to the roadways may be exposed to higher levels of these pollutants and maybe have additional more health effects than other people. So we're actually setting up a monitoring site actually near the road. It's going to be located near Interstate 75 and 74, I think within like 50 or 100 meters of actually the roadway. So this will give us a better idea. We want to measure where the peak concentrations are, so this will allow us to measure at that location. We are just starting to collect data, and it'll be collecting official data as of January 1st.
And this is the first of these types of sites in the state?
In Ohio, there's going to be three sites, one in Columbus, one in Cleveland, and one in Cincinnati. And we're going to be the first one to have ours operational.
Do you ever, Holly, run into businesses that talk about all this monitoring and all the regulations and this is just too strict and too expensive and they inhibit economic growth and we don't really get much back out of it in return? Do you ever have any friction or opposition from the business community like that, or is it more of a cooperative situation in this area?
I think it depends on the individual situation. But, and Brad, you can chime in at any time. I think overall we've had, a very good relationship with the business community, whether it's our office working with a business on their air permit and working to help them do all the necessary paperwork, or if it's on the recycling side, really assisting a business hands-on to help them start a recycling program. I think overall we all want a better environment.
Yeah, and I think it's, we want to work with the company to be in compliance, because when somebody is not in compliance with the regulations, it creates more work for us and it creates more work for the company. So, we will work with companies, and in Ohio EPA has a pollution prevention program for small companies and a small business assistance program. So, we know there are a lot of smaller companies out there, and as more regulations are being, promulgated, it impacts smaller businesses. So Ohio EPA does have the Small Business Assistance Program to help some of the smaller companies. And that's what we're there for, to help also. We want to use enforcement as kind of a last step in the process. We want to work with companies so, they're in compliance. Like I said, it takes more of our time and their time when they're not complying with the regulations.
And did I hear this correctly? There was GE was looking to expand, and you played a role in helping to expedite the permitting process for them and getting a new testing facility they were trying to build. They're trying to build in Evendale.
Right. Yeah. They're establishing two new test cells to test. One was turbines, and then the other one were engines or components to the jet engines. And it was a fairly complex permit. Normally these permits can take anywhere from 12 to 18 months. We actually got the permit processed in less than 6 months, kind of using a team approach. Because these permits don't come along. This type of complexity of permit only comes along. We maybe get one every year or every other year. So we kind of used a team approach where it allowed some of our newer people to basically train on how to process these permits. And then it also expedited the processing of the permit.
So is this a relatively new model for getting permits through?
Yeah, this is the first time we've tried it in a somewhat less, where we used just like two people, but here we used actually like a team of five people to work on it. So a couple people worked on one portion of the permit while some other people worked on the other one, and then we kind of combined it all together. So it worked really well.
Holly, one of the other programs I think that you offer is not just electronic waste, but there's also hazardous household waste disposal. I know the electronic waste is immensely popular mm-hmm. because whenever we put up a story about it, that story gets a lot of attraction. Same thing, I would suppose, with household hazardous waste, because it's tough to find spots to get rid of that kind of stuff.
Right. Everyone, you look in your basement, under your sink, you have some sort of product that, while we all need these products to make our lives easier, if you're not using those products anymore, to reduce accidental poisonings, we ask people to bring them to our free drop-off facility. And at least 6,000 or so households use that program every single year.
Wow. Are there any plans to expand the electronic waste gathering or the household hazardous waste gathering?
Not at this time. There are not. No. We do have, like I said, a one-day drop-off coming in January. You know, after the holidays, people get new electronics. It's time to get rid of the old. So we will provide that service in January, which is relatively new. And there are also a lot of other places that will take electronic waste. Best Buy will take them at no charge. There are various outlets. Goodwill will take electronics. So you don't have to wait for one of our collection events. There's plenty of private outlets that residents can drop those off.
Well, that brings up a specific question from Jed, who wants to know, how do I properly dispose of alkaline batteries? I guess same rules would apply to those as any form of electronic waste.
Alkaline being your AA, single A, those types of batteries. Really, the mercury has been pretty much taken out of those batteries. So you can throw those away with your regular trash if it's coming from your household. We just ask that you only throw away one or two at a time because they are still corrosive in nature.
513-419-7100. You can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can join us on Facebook or Twitter if you have any questions or comments. And, you know, speaking of one of the missions of recycling is to reduce reliance on landfills, correct?
Correct.
And so speaking of that, what is the status of the Rumpke landfill? Does it still have capacity? And I guess all the efforts at recycling are going to just increase its capacity. It's expressed in terms of it has so many years left, right?
That's absolutely correct. And it's right now, their capacity is right around 13 years. We do have to, as part of our planning efforts, we do have to document that our area has sufficient capacity for our waste for at least 15 years. And when we look at landfill capacity, we're not just looking inside Hamilton County. We're looking at landfills in Kentucky, in other counties in Ohio, as well as in Hamilton County. And we do meet that that threshold of a 15-year capacity for our garbage.
All the efforts of your department, are they cost neutral, or do these cost the county money?
For the solid waste side, I mean, there is a cost for these programs. And we do have local funding. We're actually funded off landfill tipping fees, believe it or not. And we use that money to reduce what's going into landfill.
Okay. 513-419-7100. If you would like to join our conversation, you can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Where are things headed in the future for your department?
Well, I think in general, you've seen the great strides our department has made in the past 20 years. We have better air quality. We have less material going to landfill. We're recycling more. But we are going to still see some new standards come out for air quality from US EPA. And we still landfill about 1 million tons a year. So we still have work to do. I do envision, and Brad, jump in at any time, I do envision stronger partnerships that we'll have with businesses, communities, and residents, and other organizations working together to continue to improve our environment.
Yeah, a couple things we're trying to do is we have an anti-idling program now to try to reduce idling at schools and businesses, so we've been promoting that pretty heavily. It's pretty cheap to do because all we need is signs and signposts and then education materials, so we've been really focusing on it at schools. And then along the school line with school buses, we actually had retrofitted through grant money over 600 school buses and reduced basically diesel particulate, which is a carcinogen. We reduced almost, I think, 12,000 pounds of diesel particulate going to the air impacting school children. So, you know, the anti-idling is one program we're trying to keep pushing to reduce that idling, because idling is very inefficient. And, you know, where the cars idle are close to the businesses or close to the schools where the kids are or people are, and those emissions can cause health effects. So that's one program we're trying to do. The other thing we're seeing is in our air monitoring sites, basically our fixed monitors cost anywhere, you know, over $10,000 to $20,000 a piece. What we're seeing is an influx of portable monitors where people actually have monitors, a little portable monitor they can carry with them and actually see what the air quality is, and they can get specific for each pollutant. So that's something that's real big on the West Coast right now and the East Coast, so we eventually plan, you know, expect to see that here. So that's will be something we're evaluating and looking at to see what we do with that data. And it may help give us information about a specific community where we can only monitor in so many places. Now we'll be able to look at those specific communities or a specific area and see. So that'll be something, a future challenge that we'll be dealing with.
Boy, wouldn't that be beneficial to be able to do that?
Right.
Let's talk with Art in Kenwood. Good afternoon, Art.
Yeah, hi. I had a question. I knew somebody that was kind of involved with Sierra Club here in town and environmental stuff, and they'd gone out to the Rumpke facility recycling out there, north side of town, wherever it is. And they said that all the plastic, because it's got to be sorted, plastic's numbered 1 to 7, and they haven't got the time to sort it, so that all the plastic ends up going to the landfill anyhow because they don't have the time to sort it out. Can somebody say if that's the state of where things are? Hopefully it's changed.
Thank you, Art. We appreciate the question.
Thanks, Art. I would first of all say Rumpke just reopened their recycling facility in St. Bernard. And first of all, they do open the facility for tours if you're interested in actually seeing how the recycling process actually works. The materials that Rumpke wants in terms of plastic are just the plastic bottles and jugs. So your water bottles, milk jugs, laundry detergent jugs. Those are the acceptable materials that they will collect and process at their facility.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's speak with Joyce in Delhi. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I was wondering how to dispose of, like, old air mattresses that are bulky, all that plastic, you know, they might have a hole in, they're not resaleable. Also, large sleeping bags that and comforters that aren't really resaleable, like to send to Goodwill, but you don't feel like putting them out for the Rumpke dump either. So I was just wondering if there's any place that takes those type of materials.
Okay, Joyce, any advice for her?
Sure, Joyce. I think she said you were from Delhi. I would suggest for your comforter and sleeping bag to definitely try Goodwill. They do have markets available for material that's not resaleable, but they can actually recycle that material instead of sell it in their Goodwill stores. And the air mattress, I don't know of any outlets for that off the top of my head. So I would just suggest, unfortunately, calling your waste hauler for a special pickup for that material if it's too bulky for your regular trash can.
And it's like you were saying, Holly, there are specific things that are on the list of things you can recycle, different levels of plastics and things like that. And it's just a matter of being aware of what you're dealing with, isn't it?
That's correct. And for traditional curbside recycling, I do encourage all the listeners to go to WVXU's website. You'll have a link to our website where you can see everything that can be recycled in your curbside program.
And we've got, do we have any other phone calls ready there, Pete? Nope, he doesn't. Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. You've told us what you're thinking about doing in the next 20 years. Anything else you'd like to add to the conversation?
I think one thing we've talked about websites and all that, but one thing we've done is we've updated our air quality monitoring data, so our air quality mapping. So if you go to our website, you can actually see real-time data from some of our continuous monitors throughout the area. So if you want to see what the ozone level is, which is really not applicable now during the winter, but you can go there, or the fine particulate, you can go there and get the readings for the past 24 hours, 48 hours, or you go to 72 hours, and it gives you a trend graph. So it's something we've worked on and updated within the past year. So actually, if people are interested in the air quality data, they can go to our website and actually see, you know, what the actual specific numbers and the actual specific concentrations for the various pollutants.
So awareness is a big part of this whole thing,
yes.
Isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, what we're trying to do is get information out so people can, you know, become more engaged and more involved, you know, in the process and better understand things.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Holly Christman and Brad Miller from the Hamilton County Department of Environmental Services.